Okay, you're good.
We'll call the order of the Town of Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. I guess the first item is adoption of the agenda.
Well, we need to talk about Tony's absence for the agenda.
Given that it's not excused, do we talk about it or just we note that he's absent?
We're going to note that he's absent, and I'm going to double check with Beth before he's unexcused.
Okay, all right, that's fine. So let's not talk about it. But so the item is adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
Yeah, so motion.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next item is adoption of the minutes from October 5th, 2022. If you just want to take a second to look at it and see if there's any recommended changes. The only question I have, and I think this is right, is the vote that we had on the last item. It says 3-2. That was 3-2, right? For the last item?
Yes.
Okay, it was 3-2. I couldn't remember what that vote was. I don't have any.
Robert, I have the one for you to sign down here for after the meeting.
Okay, that's fine. Is there a motion to adopt the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Public comments. Any public comments? Nope. Okay, good. So we move quickly on that one. Okay, old business. Item 5.1, continued discussion of the town ordinance to be reviewed. Kind of, you know, I think this started off looking at some of the residential zoning areas and some of the permitted business uses of it. I think John brought that to our attention. And so we've been kind of looking at this, and we've got a number of different things. You've got Joe suggested changes, a rather lengthy list, which took a long time to go through, to say the least. You know, I've kind of sent out an email regarding looking at the idea of home occupations and maybe looking at that because that is referenced in, I believe, all of the residential zoning. And so I kind of put some ideas down there. And John, do you have anything to kind of add to that before we get started? Or?
I do not.
Okay. So again, this is something that John's pointed out that we've kind of dealt with over the years. And have gone through it several times, but suggesting maybe that we kind of look at it again. So I think we have to start someplace, and we may want to do this as a piecemeal type of thing rather than trying to do the whole thing. So I was thinking that, you know, we may want to look at Joe's suggestions first, and I'm not sure if our attorney has had a chance to look at those suggestions at all in terms of the definitions, some of the changes to the definitions. And I think another good piecemeal starting point would be to look at our definition of home occupations before we actually get into other things. And another option is I notice a lot of them do allow schools and things like that. I kind of struggle with the idea of, you know, allowing that, all those school type of things within each one of the categories. So what's the pleasure of the commission in terms of how to approach this? This is a pretty big thing, and I just, you know, I think it'd be useful to kind of chop it in little segments.
I would suggest that we start with the John's.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree.
Just because of the time that's been put in to those.
All right.
Rather than your email.
Right. No. Yeah.
It could drive some other changes based on adoption of these.
Because that really shouldn't take too long because a lot of them John wants to just get rid of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mine are mainly edits, so I suggest also we go with John's to more technical.
And just one thing to add to that, tonight should be discussion, because if these are Chapter 15, we'll have to go through the review and report process.
And we probably, you know, even though I think we're going to have to piecemeal this discussion over the next couple months, we probably want to make one motion so it's all packaged in one hearing. Yeah. So we won't be making any motions tonight. We'll just kind of getting some sort of agreement, I think, on certain things. So, do we have John's list? I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
I'm in here.
We do. Are you talking about John's list or John?
Yes.
Is that PowerPoint in your packet?
Yeah.
Okay, I was looking at Joe's thing, so.
And Joe's is at the back?
Right.
John, do you want your, are you going to go through your PowerPoint?
You want to put it up on the screen, that's fine.
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted to pull it up and click as you talk, or if you want me to do it.
See it, Craig?
I wasn't planning on doing a lot of talking, but there were questions.
Oh, it's new, it's fine.
Just a few pages, yeah.
Ah, okay.
You've got his PowerPoint, but then you also have the edited version. It shows the before and after.
The document and PowerPoint are the same, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
John, I do have one question on the very first kitchen definition. Different bullets, are they different examples of possible definitions?
Yeah, I just threw a couple together for the thought process.
And is kitchen defined at all currently?
It is not. Part of my problem.
So, where do you want to start? Do you want to start on the PowerPoint? And just kind of go through the PowerPoints in the packet?
Yeah, I mean, that's not the one you need to do.
It's not?
It is.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah, okay. So the first PowerPoint we're all kind of looking at is which one? Is it the?
Kitchen.
Kitchen definition.
Kitchen definitions. I apologize, I'm struggling with my packet for some reason.
I would stay within the first screen.
There you go.
There it is, okay, I'm okay.
And eventually you'll see some edited changes.
Okay, kitchen definitions.
So currently we don't have a definition for kitchen in our ordinance. And I run into this every now and then with people wanting to install mother-in-law suites on their downstairs. And the purpose of the mother-in-law suites are to turn into Airbnbs immediately. And the definition of a living unit is defined in our ordinance. And it would just make it more simple and streamlined for me if there's a definition of a kitchen also and what constitutes a kitchen.
And John, what's a living?
It's a separate living space that has sleeping, cooking, and cleaning facilities.
How would it work with using that mother-in-law example?
Well, a lot of times it happens in zoning that doesn't allow two units. And the way we've always interpreted ordinance is if you have a full kitchen, that is a full separate unit. So it wouldn't be allowed in that zoning at all. In other areas, if the zoning does allow it, there's also building code requirements that come into play, and a lot of people think building code requirements are ridiculous and they want to ignore those. And a lot of that is based on fire separations.
Of these bullets, do you prefer one over the other?
Not necessarily, no sir. I'd just like to see some sort of definition on what a kitchen is.
Do you have a preference for any of these definitions? Because I know the federal law that started the mother-in-law thing, and this goes back maybe 25 years. I mean, I was in California when that was actually passed. I know it's a long time ago, over 30 years ago. And I believe the federal law specifically excluded or encouraged the exclusion of units that have kitchens. That's how they were trying to keep it as a mother-in-law, is that you could have the bedroom and all that sort of thing, but you couldn't have a kitchen within it because that represented another unit. Now, what people do is they build it, and then they'll go in later and stick a kitchen or a plug-in electric stovetop or something like that in it. So what would be the best definition to kind of discourage that sort of thing?
What constitutes a full kitchen? So the way I've been interpreting ordinance and state laws is that you can have a sink, you can have a refrigerator, you can have a microwave, but if there's a range and a cooktop there, that constitutes a full kitchen. And so I don't allow a range and a cooktop.
Okay.
Gotcha. And John, is the attempt to grandfather those that have already kind of not done what they were supposed to do to begin with?
No, You mean, why am I bringing this up?
Yeah, I mean, is this a going forward, or is this a...
This is going forward, yes, sir. Makes things easier for me.
So you'd just like to see a definition there that a kitchen is, a full kitchen is something where there's a range and a cooktop, basically.
I mean, sure.
I mean, again, this is just a conversation so we can get agreement on all these type of things as we go forward over the next couple months. We're not
making...
It looks
like the third bullet is more specific than the general language in the first two. Cooking facilities, somebody I think could say a hot plate is a cooking...
Right.
So you see a room or a place with a refrigerator, oven, stove, and sink?
I've got a storage closet with that. It's not a kitchen.
And that's an and in each case, not or, right?
Sure, all above. Yeah.
But I think you could have a refrigerator, you could have a sink, if I understood you correctly before.
Yes. Right.
You're just cutting it off at the stove cook or the stove oven thing.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Okay.
So it'd be a definition of a kitchen is a room / place with refrigerator and oven and stove and sink.
Could why bring up the other items if it's really just the stove or the oven that's the distinguishing factor?
Could any homeowner put a cooktop in a bedroom and call it a kitchen?
You'd be surprised what I've seen.
By this definition, it wouldn't be, because it'd have to have all of those to be called a kitchen.
But I think that's what John's saying is, it doesn't really care about the refrigerator. You don't really care about the sink, right? So it's not. It doesn't have to have all. It's really the stove is the distinguishing.
So it sounds like the recommendation would be a definition that a full kitchen is a room, a place that has a range / cooktop or ovens. You maybe put oven in there. Oven / range / cooktop.
What's the matter with the third bullet?
Again, if I understood John correctly, the refrigerator really doesn't matter. You're allowing the refrigerator.
But we are defining a kitchen.
I think the third bullet provides the best definition.
Yeah, I would agree, but we would place the slashes with and.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
The commas in an and.
I mean, is that okay with everybody? Again, without taking a vote?
The only other question I've got is that word place. I don't know what a place is. I know what a room is. I know what a dwelling unit is. Can we get rid of place without causing any issues for you?
I'm not sure, because a place seems pretty important, because in a mother-in-law, you might have just a studio. And so a studio type of apartment wouldn't have a separate room that, you know, they would just stick an oven or something like that in a studio. But you wouldn't call the whole studio a full kitchen then.
Let's call it space instead of place.
A space is fine, if that's okay.
Yeah, or area.
I'll change that around and bring it to the next meeting.
I still think there's some confusion there, though. If someone were to decide not to put an oven in, but they read this, and that it was a purposeful decision for their own part not to put an oven in, are they then confused by, okay, well, I can't really do that because I have a refrigerator and I have a sink?
I follow where you're going with that now.
And I don't think we ought to put and between oven and stove, because, you know, what we want is to eliminate either an oven or a stove. So can we have somebody, just so we can kind of move on, kind of work on that? So we've agreed to replace place with space and have something that says refrigerator and sink and oven / stove, or oven or stove.
If you like, I'll work with John.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
Okay.
Point of order, do you anticipate discussing that next month or reviewing and reporting on it? Because I want to be involved in looking at whatever drafts are prepared.
I think this is going to be a multi-month process.
So you're looking at discussion.
Yeah, so I think we're just kind of clarifying things tonight, and you know, we'll probably continue on for a period of time, not the whole evening, because this is probably a multi-month sort of. So when we get tired of talking about this, maybe in about 20 minutes or so, we can.
One suggestion on drafting a kitchen definition: the first half of the first bullet is pretty good. Then you could add the relevant parts of the third bullet to finish off that sentence. Kitchen means a room or portion thereof containing takeout permanent facilities designed and used for food preparation, including, without limitation, an oven and or a stove.
Yeah.
No, I think that sounds good.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, driveway definition. John?
Put my thoughts out on the PowerPoint.
Do you have a preference for one of those?
A lot of these things that I brought up are things that I have daily issues with. And
okay.
That I have not included because I felt like this was enough for right now, but I'm going to continue with them after we get through this PowerPoint.
I'm not crazy with the grassy area, because that could mean you could park anywhere on your property.
Well, you can.
Yes.
But is it part of your required parking? That's where the question comes.
So, I mean, John, is there something you would like to see specifically here?
There's a lot of things that I would like to see in the ordinance that doesn't mean they're necessary or prudent. I'm bringing this in front of you because I feel like it's been an issue that it can be interpreted many different ways, and I feel like it's something that should be shored up as we continue to build out and people try to maximize the use of their properties and cram as many cars and bedrooms and things of that nature on the property as possible. And so that's why I bring it up. If you don't see an issue with it, I'm fine moving on. I'm just bringing that up.
But I mean, do you think we should allow for just gravel to be everywhere?
I have allowed for that already, yes, sir. Continue to allow for it.
John, but in the ordinance where we talk about, do we discuss driveway in other parts of the ordinance?
I don't even think there is a definition of what a driveway actually is.
Or do we refer to a driveway in other parts of the ordinance?
Driveways.
We do refer. So we should have definition if we're going to refer to it.
A couple of questions, Chairman. Does the building code define driveway?
I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever looked for the definition of a driveway in the building code.
And I don't know. I know about driveway permits, but that's about all I know. Does a residential construction of a residential unit require a driveway permit?
Or I don't want to put a driveway in.
I mean, does every driveway, commercial or residential, require a permit?
If you've got a building permit, that's usually part of the site plan and overall incorporated with the permit itself.
And in none of those procedures, which I guess are all code-based, there's no definition that we could fall back on, correct?
I'm double-checking right now just because I don't remember every single definition.
If you're given a site plan and it specifies where the driveway is that restrict the people to from parking anywhere but in the driveway?
The way I've interpreted the ordinance is if you don't have a driveway, it can't be counted as your required parking.
Well, with that, then we have to have a definition of a driveway. I mean, if we're going to have something like that.
There is not a definition of a driveway. Thank God.
Thank you.
So we don't need to deal with that one?
No.
No, he was answering a specific question I asked.
Well, as far as what a driveway can be made of.
I don't know, is it? That's what I'm getting at.
That's what I'm saying. Is can it just be as simple as a designated parking area?
It could be.
But is that what we want?
What is a designated parking area? Can it be a
A couple cones out there on a
Or before it, end of the road there, or does it have to be, you know, outlined as a 9x20 spot, or?
A lot of what I'm seeing online is it's a short private road from a street to a home or other building where cars can usually be parked. That's the general of what you see online.
That sounds good to me.
A short private road. Then people are going to want to name them.
Yeah, I don't think I would use the word road.
Yeah.
I think private driveway definition.
But we do have requirements specific to a driveway, right?
Or a vehicle access route between the carriageway of a road and a use on a parcel.
Oh, that's good. I like that one.
You might want to say that again?
A vehicle access route between the carriageway of a road and a use on a parcel.
Change carriageway to right of way, I think you're good.
Does that sound?
That doesn't answer your designated parking issue as it overlaps with driveway. Right. John?
Yeah. I'm sorry, sir.
I mean, if we make the definition this right away from the main road to your house, whatever you said, that doesn't answer the issue of designated parking, which isn't necessarily meant to be the driveway, right? Because I've seen plenty of houses where they'll have ropes and wood up and they're parking between ropes, but yet they have a driveway.
I think in this town, I think parking is, if I'm not mistaken, I think parking is allowed in the front yard.
Yes, it is. And we did have that discussion about 3 years ago, I think it is. It was a rather animated discussion. But yeah, you know, I believe right now it is that you can park in your grass and all that sort of thing. So yeah, we had discussions of right of way and all that sort of thing. So all we're looking for is a definition of a driveway to satisfy the various ordinances that talk about driveways.
Because if somebody does have a driveway, we do have specific requirements to the driveway, right? As far as how wide it can be, you know, what the how it kind of widens beyond the right of way, all that. So you know, that exists. Mm-hmm. It's really just describing whether that's required. Right, because I think that was your first point is, what if you choose not to even put a driveway in? So it's just a free-for-all in the front of your house?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
One other question, if I can, Chairman. John, we've had discussions, but in this forum, that I don't remember. When somebody brings you a building plan, is there something do you use driveways at all in figuring out required parking spaces for a residential unit?
Absolutely.
Can you give me an example of how that works?
If someone brings me a site plan for a house that doesn't have a driveway, I say, where is your required parking at? So that's when they draw a driveway onto that site plan, and then I check it for dimensional requirements.
And different size houses have different, well, it's based on bedrooms, is that right?
That's correct, yes, sir.
And do you ever okay those situations where the parking on the driveway itself doesn't allow for all the required spaces, but the front yard, ability to park in the front yard, do you ever take that into consideration?
In the bare garage?
Yeah.
No, sir.
So basically, if they need X number of spaces, they have to have a driveway that will accommodate them.
That's the way I've been pushing it, yes, sir.
Yeah, I think that's generally the interpretation, is that they need a certain number of spaces that has to be accommodated on the definition of a driveway.
So if you...
But people can park not on the driveway,
if you define,
in the front yard.
If you define driveway, then that eliminates any confusion about using the yard as part of your calculation. I think it's a good idea to include a driveway definition. John can weigh in on whether we need to be specific about materials, pervious, impervious. But I think the addition of a driveway, sort of like the language that Mandy just gave us, would be useful.
I go into that a little more in depth later on in the presentation, but yes, all of those things come to play. And I'd like the definition to incorporate a lot of them.
Did you hear the definition that Mandy came up with?
Yeah, could you say that again, but with Jim's...
A vehicle access route between the right
Okay. Is everybody okay with that definition of a driveway? And then we can talk about whether we want to include materials.
What if we added to that definition that this access road shall also satisfy the required parking requirement? So that somebody doesn't interpret that they can park on the grass.
At the end of that definition, you just put a comma used for calculating.
There you go.
Yes. Required parking.
But we can't prohibit people from parking on
correct.
The grass.
That's an addition to the requirement.
This is to satisfy the building requirements and the number of spaces you need on your driveway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, since we're already talking about driveways, what about materials? Do we want?
Hang on a minute. Who's going to be responsible for drafting that?
Mandy.
Mandy's not. I'll be responsible for drafting that.
I'm taking your notes.
You're taking the notes? Yeah, but I think we're all agreement with that definition. The question now is, do we also want to then have a second sentence regarding materials?
I think John said we'll cover that a little bit later.
Then we can always come back and add that in the definition if we need to.
Okay, all right.
But let's not get off.
All right, so next item is modification to required lot area and required yards and setbacks.
He wants to delete it, that's fine.
I'm fine with that.
I am as well.
Okay. Are we in agreement to delete that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Next item, modification to required lot area and required yards.
15-18-040 is the one you're on.
Yes.
That's just like what we just deleted.
That's what I thought, yeah. I thought it would be the same thing.
It's in a different section. Delete it. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Next item is 15-36-020. Reduction of lot and yard setbacks prohibited. And again, John's recommendation is to delete this.
Okay with that one too?
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're okay with that.
Yes.
Okay, next item is 15.36.030, prerequisite to construction, demolition, remodeling, and impervious surfaces, etc.
So the only change here is in the second and fourth bullet?
Yes.
And I'd be
happy to explain if you guys aren't quite catching what I'm trying to do there right away.
Yeah, okay. If you would, Jeff.
So we have quite a few different lot sizes throughout Cary Beach. From the smallest lot that is around 20 feet wide to the largest lot would be 165 feet wide. And so by changing it to a percentage of lot width, we've created an even playing field for all parties. Instead of just being relegated to, say, 24 feet of driveway coming across town right away and you have a 100-foot lot, now you can have a 48-foot driveway if you want, because you have a double lot.
Gotcha.
So the person with the 20-foot lot could only have a 10-foot wide driveway.
There you go.
John, I had one question. I've done a little bit of background on pervious pavers, and I'm a big fan of pervious pavers, but I also know there's a huge difference in terms of how quickly they get clogged.
That is correct. There is a maintenance schedule for them.
There is a maintenance schedule within our definition of pervious pavers.
We don't have a definition for pervious pavers. We don't really recognize them at all in our ordinance. That's kind of why I'm bringing this up today.
Okay. So if we put something like this, we should probably have a definition of pervious pavers then. If we put this in there, because we're now referring to pervious pavers.
Well, I think the only reason that would need to come into play is if we allowed the coverage to go beyond the 65% lot coverage that you're allowed to do already.
Okay.
So I don't think that that's necessary, but it would be nice if we could acknowledge them in the ordinance as an acceptable form for a driveway.
Okay.
Makes sense.
So any more questions? Do you want to?
Go ahead. I want to go to the rest of the next part that you see there. I've got some cross through and then a 72%.
Yes.
Same thought process. A normal lot, or right now you can have 36 feet of driveway in front of your house, and that's for a typical 50-foot wide lot. Well, we have some lots that are larger and smaller, and so if we made it a percentage of the lot width, it would be more equitable for all lots. That's what I was trying to accomplish with that change.
And John, you don't see any reason to cap that at some point?
Well, that's the percentages, are you talking about as far as the lot width is concerned?
Yeah, I mean, for...
I think you could drive around, well, tonight we're just discussing, so maybe this coming month you could drive around and see that most lots, what they have is proportional to the lot size, and there is still sufficient green space on either side, which is where this ordinance came from. We didn't want somebody pouring the entire width of their property with the driveway. We don't want that concrete jungle look. And that's where this ordinance came from. So I think it still captures that intent and will be adequate.
Okay.
Okay, so is everybody good with that?
I am.
You went real quick to that, John, but back up to the pervious. It says pervious pavers with demonstrated permeability. What is that, by design or by installation testing?
Yeah. Both. So you can go to Home Depot and buy a bunch of pavers to put them out. They may hold water, but really there's a design method for putting them in. There's different rock sizes and different depths and different compactions and so on and so forth. And once again, this discussion really should resolve around whether or not we want to just look at this as a driveway or we want to allow additional coverage as long as these pavers are installed correctly with demonstrated permeability. You follow me?
Follow you, but if we're not going to go past the allowed percentage of acreage,
then there's no reason.
Why bother even mentioning permeability other than, yeah, you can use them if you want to. You can use bubble gum.
I agree with you.
Use bubble gum.
I agree with you.
Okay.
But does it come into factor when you're talking about setbacks and so forth and what's like a walkway is allowed and a setback?
That's impervious coverage, so yes, if we don't directly address pervious pavers as being pervious in our ordinance, I'm not treating them as pervious.
Mm-hmm.
So yes.
I'm a little confused. Are we considering deleting the yellow highlight or keeping it and modifying it?
That's new language.
No, based on the discussion we just had. My question is, how are you going to know that somebody installed it correctly and it has the demonstrated permeability and is being maintained as it is? I don't know how we determine those things.
Yeah, I don't want to get into policing it either, but those are some of the questions that I receive. So I'm just throwing it out there.
So, tell me how the yellow highlight works. Above that, we are restricting the use of impervious, correct? For example, the bullet before the yellow highlight limits impervious surface coverage to 15% of the required setback. But if we construct that thing out of previous pavers that have the demonstrated permeability, then we can go beyond the 15%. Is that a fair reading?
Based on what you have in front of you, kind of. Overall, though, you're only allowed to cover 65% of your lot. And from what I'm hearing from commission members is that we don't really want to get into whether or not it's pervious or not. You're just going to be allowed 65% of coverage, and we're going to consider pervious pavers a driveway. Statement.
I think we've talked about considering pervious pavers as could be part of a driveway.
But it's I think the question really is, can you add pervious and go beyond the 65%?
That's correct.
But that gets into all kinds of enforceability issues. Why don't we take out the first sentence of the yellow highlight and leave the rest?
I'm really happy to rewrite all of this the way I think it ought to be. I just wanted to hear you guys,
No, I think we all agree with you. If you want to write it the way you think that it's the best way to enforce it as well as to recommend it, I think that's great.
So I'll bring back an ordinance that's ready to be initiated and installed next month.
Okay.
All right. You guys are good with how this discussion went.
your demonstration about 5 gallons per minute per square foot and everything. Have you ever had to do that?
I've been in different conferences and classes that show the permeability of certain systems, and there is a maintenance that comes to play with those. And no, I do not want to get into enforcement of maintenance plans. So I'm happy to hear you guys are.
Are there some, and well, I know there are, but are there some pervious pavers that don't clog as easily? You know, I mean, when you think about it, you know, I mean, you could put
in our environment, no. Sooner or later, you know, in our environment with blown sand, it's all going to turn into, you know,
impervious.
Impervious concrete surface. Okay. There was one presentation I sat in, it was pretty amazing. It drained 8 gallons a minute per square foot. Within 6 months, it got down to 3 to 4 gallons per minute. With 1 year, it was as pervious as concrete, which is not impervious.
Wow.
So you had to actually physically go out there and chop back it to maintain it.
Okay, so we're all good with John coming back with, you know, listen to what we've talked about and then coming back with the recommended
yes.
wording? Okay, excellent. All right, next item.
Are we generally okay with the percentage coverage, the width of the lot and the percentage, changing that from the feet to percentage?
Aye.
I mean, it you know, as you point out, it makes it more equitable, right? Is your general feeling about going to the percentage from the feet? Okay. All right, yeah, I think we're okay with that. All right, 15.36.050, adjoining and vacant lots of record. John's note is need to clarify legally, not sure we can force someone to combine two lots if they don't want to.
I agree with that last statement.
So I recommend we delete it.
I agree with that statement.
I agree.
Are we all in agreement with that? Okay, so we'll recommend delete that. 15.36.070, location of accessory buildings on residential lots.
This is also up for the proposed text amendment later this month.
Yeah, we're kind of addressing that in the text amendment, what we talked about last month.
That was for fence, wasn't it?
No, remember the size of the shed.
Shed on the side.
I'm curious about the comment. Over the years, interpretation has been that the rear yard is the back 50% of the lot. I mean, the rear yard setback is determined by measurements based on the rear corner of the principal structure, isn't it?
No.
Yeah. But didn't that change with the fence thing we did a few months ago?
Yeah, that's where.
But that's only in special circumstances. No, it's not
right,
for everybody. It's just in a very special circumstance.
Right.
Well, by definition, yes, you're right, Jim. But at the same time, the yard is supposed to mean where your setbacks are.
I mean, if I've got a 20-foot backyard and a 10-foot setback,
you've got 10 feet for that structure in there. But if you have a vacant, and where this has come into play is having a large lot with a house on one side of it and then a big side yard, and they want to put in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Or where should I tell them they could put in that swimming pool? And so I said, okay, as long as it's in the back 50% of the lot, you're fine to go. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why I put this one in here. I just kind of wanted you guys to know all this the way I was interpreting it, I guess.
Because if I remember right, what's going to go to
Council
is an addition to this, isn't it? We're not recommending that, but
they want to reduce
the that's right, that's right.
To allow that encroachment.
But it was this language that we're dealing with, I believe.
But they wanted to go into the setback.
Right.
So, John, are you really just asking for clarification that it's the
I
last?
I want to just think this one over again. I can't remember why I put it in there. So.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we'll put a big question by that one. Okay, next one, 1536080, exceptions and modifications.
We need to delete this because that's all handled by variance procedure.
Okay, recommendation is to delete.
Okay.
Next one, 1536090, modification to front yard setbacks in residential districts. And the note is, doesn't promote good development. It also makes the ordinance more restrictive if actively enforced. I'm not even sure why we have, if we have a location in the town that this ordinance would apply to.
So outside of residential, there's only four blocks. The business district.
Oh, I can't even understand it.
So what that means is, if you have a block, and 25% of the houses on this block are set off the road 25 feet, then any new properties on that block cannot get any closer to the road than 25 feet, even though by ordinance you can go 20 feet.
Huh. Okay.
So the original thought is consistency, trying to make a consistent look? Okay.
Yep.
Boy, this is an awkward way of saying that.
I'll just go on record by saying I would never use this ordinance.
Do you have a problem if we delete it?
Nope.
So, do we all feel good that we can delete that one?
I think so.
Okay. Moving quickly here. 1536120, density control requirements for residential units. Recommendation is rewrite or remove at the discretion of the building inspector. You want to kind of jump in on that one?
I would like to see a revision of what a bedroom is. And I don't know what that might be. I just wanted to open it up for discussion.
Well, don't we have a definition for bedroom in a...
That is the definition.
Well, that is the definition.
Mm-hmm. You just want to drop everything after the comma, right?
I definitely want that out of the
definition. That's okay to drop it out.
Do we have any bedrooms, or is that like a... I mean, the 10 by 10, I always think about, I mean, is there a reason why it's 10 by 10, or is that building code, or?
I think at the time when we put this ordinance in there, that was just the smallest bedroom that you would normally have.
Do I see
a bedroom smaller than that?
Don't bedrooms also have to have, by definition, a window?
Window.
They do. Yeah.
Okay, may want to put that in the other two, because we have having a closet.
John, do I remember something from a long time ago where in closing the house, and maybe it was a different town, house is elevated and in closing the bottom portion to turn that into a bedroom was a problem for your department. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, it must be a different place.
What do you mean?
Well, if I've got a house on stilts and I want to enclose the bottom of it to create a new room, maybe for Airbnb purposes, it seemed to me that once upon a time we discussed that was not allowable, but was a problem that you dealt with on a continuing basis. But again, I mean,
there's a whole host of things that comes into play with that. You know, each one's different for each house, for sure. If building code ends, I mean, that comes into play.
John, just real quick question about both the definition of a closet and a window. Window, does it have to be a certain size?
Yes.
Okay. Closet, does it have to be built in, or can you have an armoire or something like that?
I don't know. You tell me.
I thought it was supposed to be built in.
I mean, that's always my impression, is it had to be built in rather than a piece of furniture. I personally don't see a problem with a piece of furniture. You know, I see a window as being a safety issue, obviously. But Or do we just want to just say closet and then leave it to interpretation?
I'm confused by this whole thing. So, I mean, the first bullet point doesn't have anything to do with bedrooms. And then it goes just into bedroom in the second
bullet
point.
That's true, yeah, you're right.
What is, you know, what's the connection point there?
Number of bedrooms directly correlates to your required parking, and that's where this comes into play, and that's why it's defined, why it's in this specific location.
Like park anywhere on the grass.
I didn't know for that.
So there's another requirement underneath that bullet, first bullet point, that talks about parking spaces, and then bedroom needs to be defined because of that?
No, that was the whole ordinance. I guess that's where we decided that was the best place to plug it in. I don't know.
But there is a definite connection between the number of bedrooms you have and the number of parking spaces you have.
Yes.
Right.
Which may carry over into our other problem.
And so what happens at plan review is that I'll be looking at these plans and they'll have six bedrooms on each side of a duplex, and all six bedrooms have closets in them, and I'll mention this to the builder that they can't have closets in them. Next thing you know, you get another set of plans and the closets are removed. Mm-hmm. Well, then it comes time for them to start marketing it after sheetrock goes in and it's advertised as a six bedroom unit townhome. Guess what those rooms get stocked full of? Well, that's where the kids go, the full bunk beds. Is that a problem? I don't know, but what we're trying to control here is how many people we actually have in town parking on our streets, parking in their driveways, and so that's where I'm coming from when I bring this up.
So it seems like at the very least, though, this probably needs to be there along with the parking requirements as opposed to here, because you're really defining bedroom to correlate to the parking.
It could go in a different location, yes, sir, and I can provide a better location for you at the next meeting.
What are we talking about moving the second bullet?
That's correct.
Right. And my only suggestion is if we're going to have that definition, we add window to it also. You know, the closet and window. So it's clear.
Okay. I'm not sure any of this really helps you, right? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, somebody just removes the closets and...
Always so much you can do. I mean, you can chase everybody down. So many hours in the day.
Yeah.
All right, we're all good with that one. Get on to a more interesting one. 1536-150, height limit exceptions. John?
That's okay.
So there's a lot of strike-through. It's a hard one to understand. You probably have to read it three or four times to really kind of wrap your head around it. And so I would just like to simplify it.
Yeah.
And so what I've suggested and what I have been doing anyway is you measure, the surveyor is measuring that height from your slab. I believe this makes everything more equitable. There's other ways that you could do this. If some towns require the crown of the road, that's not so equitable and would hurt other people in different locations based on what the topography is in that area. And so it's been working well, and I'd just like to see it put into ordinance.
Okay. Just very quickly, Annette, and I know what kind of your answer is going to be, but just for clarification, obviously we have a 35-foot height limit. And so when I'm reading casually, it says chimneys, cooling towers, elevators, etc., may be erected to any height in accordance. And let's say my brain stops right there, in any height. Do we need to put 35 feet in this, or does the second part of that sentence take care of that? Well, in accordance with existing or hereafter adopted ordinances.
You aren't mind blown about the second part of that. So our height limit exceptions, we've got a process to go through before that can even be approved. That has to come before you guys as a technical review committee before that can even be approved. That part of the ordinance is also part of the state law, and so I think it has to stay there.
So you prefer that rather than trying to define what it is in 35 feet and all that sort of thing? Just simply say existing or hereafter adopted ordinances.
You guys are going to handle that in the process that's required before it's approved.
Okay.
Ordinance.
So John, does this risk having manipulation of, you know, kind of what somebody would potentially do to elevate their lot?
So I'm going to go
at the detriment of others.
I'm going to go more into that with my next group of revisions for you guys, and it has to do with allowable fill and what we're going to allow.
Okay.
What we do now is an in-house process. The public works director and I have to both agree and approve whatever fill level you bring in, and we're not going to approve anything that's not necessary, and that's the way we've been doing it for almost 20 years now.
Gotcha.
Your note said this cannot be manipulated. Was there a sense that the prior wording before your recommendations would allow for a degree of manipulation of this?
What's to keep you from piling a pile of dirt up in the side of the yard over there and taking your measurement and then telling the building inspector, yeah, that's my average grade.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But isn't this tied up with the state law?
The height is, but not where you measure it.
It's okay. Interesting, the local act covers several towns in addition to Curie Beach. Beach, it just says 35. But for the other towns, it sets a limit, but then it tells you how to measure it. But for Curie Beach, it doesn't tell you how to measure it. Mm-hmm.
And what you're proposing would be consistent with what these other towns are doing?
I'm not sure what they do. What do they do, Jim?
I don't remember what the act said. But yours was simpler.
Yeah. Carolina Beach measures the height from the highest grade at the property line. Wrightsville Beach measures it from the center of the street in the middle of the lot.
So it's all over the place.
Carolina Beach has had a fair amount of trouble with this thing. People don't know they're measuring it from the property line. And if I'm building a house on Florida Avenue, it's low. Everybody wants to put in a lot of dirt. You really need to do that. And people are getting in trouble with the height ordinance because they think it's measured like Curie Beach and most other places from the base of the house. But it's measured from the dirt of the property line.
Okay. So you feel okay that measuring it from the slab as you have defined here is sufficient?
I've been doing it for a long time.
Okay. All right, so we're all okay. I think everybody's okay with this?
Yes.
Okay. Next one, minimum parking requirements. Boy, these are things we've spent the last decade talking about. 1536220, minimum parking requirements.
What's been your problem with the way that it's written now?
I get a lot of confusion with Carolina Beach. They require 8x18, and I'm not a proponent of changing that.
Yeah.
I'm not really a proponent of any of this. I just bring it up as I see the issues come about. You look at the permitted parking for other relatable uses to one and two family dwellings, it's more restrictive than it is for one and two family dwellings. And that's why I bring it up.
But we.
And so I'll read the two that I'm talking about really quickly for you guys. So for a one and two dwelling unit, you can have you're required to have two parking spaces for the first three bedrooms. and one additional parking space for each bedroom thereafter. So a five-bedroom house has to have 4 9-by-20 parking spaces. For a multiple family dwelling, you have to have 2 parking spaces for the first 2 bedrooms and 1 additional parking space for each bedroom. So for a multiple family dwelling, you have to have a parking space for each bedroom, but for a 2-family dwelling, you only have to have 1 less. So is 2-family dwelling really not a multiple family dwelling? I guess that's my question.
I would think that it is.
So in the case of the 1 to 2 units, it's combined. But in the multifamily, it's per unit, as far as
no,
what you described.
They're all per unit.
What's that?
They're all per unit.
Yeah, okay.
Could you go through that again? For a single family, it's 2 for the first 3.
Yes.
And then 1 afterwards. Then for 2 family unit, it's what?
Same.
It's the same. And then for multi, it's 2 for 2 bedrooms and then 1 after that. Okay. So are you suggesting, rather than, would be making the 2-family dwelling equivalent to a?
Yeah, so 1 less parking space for a 2 than what's today?
It would be 1 more parking space for a 2-family dwelling.
It would be 1 less, because you take it out of the single family and then make it a multi, go in that direction.
A multi is 1 for each unit.
Or
but is it the 2 units per unit, or is that was that combined?
Hold on, I guess I got lost in your brain.
Yeah. So like the 1 to 2 units, is that combined for the 2 units?
It's per unit.
So if that was the case, each unit would need 2 for the first 3.
That's right.
But if you said the 2 was a multi, they only need 2 for the first 2. So it'd be 1 less, right?
It'd be 1 less if we make a two unit in, and call it a multi.
Look at it the other way. But for a 2-unit building now, you have to have 3 for the first 3 bedrooms.
Combined? Or
per each unit.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, yeah, okay.
Is there a problem with 1 parking space per unit?
No, you're right, because it's...
So skip the 1, 2, and the multi, just 1 parking.
Because you'd only need 4 spaces for a 5-bedroom on a residential or a single, but you'd only need... You'd need 5 spaces, so they'd actually be required to have 1 more, not 1 less, if it becomes a multi-unit. I would be in favor of that. You know, I think it requires more parking. Mm-hmm. I would recommend changing the how would you want to say that? A 2-unit to change the definition of a 2-unit regarding parking requirements to a multi-unit.
John, what's the problem with 1 space per bedroom regardless?
Well, I think in a case like that, speaking for you, John, if you have a 3-bedroom unit, one of the rooms is probably going to be for kids. You're not going to have a car. The car will go with the other 2 bedrooms. So I think you put an extra parking space in for a 3-bedroom unit.
Yeah, when you think about rental properties, though, that's where it kind of goes the other direction.
Yeah, exactly.
The kids grow up.
But I think most of the rental properties would be in 2-unit or multi-unit properties rather than single unit. So by defining a 2-unit property as a multi-unit property for parking purposes, we're requiring 1 additional parking space.
Instead of trying to, in this case, taking 2 and making it multi when the distinction distinction persist in other sections of the code, just put, after you deal with the one family unit, just put all other, all other dwellings. You see what I'm saying? Instead of taking...
No, I agree. Yeah, we were just trying to move that two-unit into a multi-unit classification. You know, the language to do that would be hopefully a little simpler.
All you have to do is just remove the two dwelling units.
Yeah.
So are we all in agreement that a two-unit should be have a little more requirement for parking equivalent to a multi-unit? And however that language is written, I think we all are in agreement on that.
Well, a two-unit would have a little more restricted parking than a single-family dwelling.
Right, right. Restricted meaning they'd have to have more parking for the same number of bedrooms. Right. We're all okay with that?
To work out. Yeah.
It just needs to work out the language, as you said. Okay. All right.
Chairman.
Yes.
Can we go back one page to height limit exception again?
Sure.
Did you answer should every parking space have ingress and egress and no stacking?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's good.
Yeah, let's go ahead and look at that egress and ingress issue. What, you know, I'm struggling, what exactly, I know what ingress means and egress means, but.
So you have a single family home that has three bedrooms, one garage, and one 10-foot driveway. So how many bedrooms did I just say it had?
Three.
Okay, it's required to have two parking spaces. So if one car's in the garage and one car parks right behind them, that's blocking the car in the garage as egress. So should all parking spaces have egress or no?
I don't think
very many do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have that question come up sometimes too.
Especially like some of the townhouse scenarios. I mean, those driveways are limited really to basically two cars wide, right? So they've got to be stacked in order to be able to get
right.
Six cars in the driveway, as they do today.
So I guess the kind of the agreement is we don't think they have to have both ingress and egress. Okay. All right. The attorney wants to go back to height limits, height limit exceptions.
Yeah, I had some problems with the second line in the second bullet, to any height in accordance with existing or hereafter adopted ordinances. I went back and looked at the local act, and this is the way that part reads. The height limitation of this act does not apply to spires, belfries, etc. But it doesn't say they can be built to any height. So my suggestion is that the second line of the second bullet read as follows. Appurtenances may be erected in accordance with applicable code provisions. I think that covers just about everything, from variances to issuance of building permits.
So take out with existing and hereafter adopted?
Yeah, because we're using code, not ordinances, but I really want to take out to any height. That bothers me.
Take out, okay, so could you repeat that after the comma?
Second. Well, I'm starting at the beginning of the second line of the second bullet.
Okay.
Appurtenances may be erected, delete the comma, through to any height, in accordance with, delete the rest, and insert applicable code provisions.
Okay. I mean, it's just better language, but trying to achieve the same thing. As I said, I'd like to kind of check on the time. We're at 7 o'clock, so we've been talking about this for about 45 minutes. I mean, this could go on for...
We've got four left.
We've only got four.
Okay, all right. So we want to finish up this
for
John and then maybe decide whether we're going to continue on at that particular time. Okay.
You got plans?
Well, we also have, okay, anyway, so let's see.
Didn't John have a, something he would like on gravel on the lots?
That was going to be the definition of driveway, and I'm going to provide that for you guys for next month.
All right, talking about building and building regulations now, next item.
So my department encompasses a lot more than just building inspections, and while we're going through some of these changes, I wanted to change what the definition or the name of my department is. So I'll throw up some common examples of that.
So you want to change the name of your department?
That's correct.
And his title.
And my title.
And your pay scale?
We call that in courtroom language opening the door.
And then, John, you're just saying, based on whatever provision we're talking about, it would be one of these four titles that's inserted in there?
Those are some of the most common ones from the surrounding communities. There is no community in the surrounding area that has the building inspections department and the building inspector. It is the planning and zoning department, land development department, the community development department, building safety and planning and zoning, so on and so forth. I know this sounds odd, I know it sounds like I'm self-promoting myself, but it is a problem. It is a problem related to the pay scale also. And we are getting ready to go through a large pay study.
We're working on that.
Working on that?
We are working on that.
I've already brought this to town council's attention also, and perhaps building commissioner or commissioner here can attest to that. But
the third bullet is pretty basic and standard. I mean, that's what I run into a lot, and that is what they do.
The planning and zoning department?
Yeah, because that encompasses anything from a building permit to code enforcement. So.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is a council decision.
At
least this one. But are you looking for a recommendation from us?
I think that would. You don't have to if you don't want to, I guess. But.
I think planning and zoning. Plus, it ties with planning and zoning commission because you spend a lot of time with us. So I'm fine with planning and zoning department.
Make any difference.
We all okay with that?
I think so.
All right, okay, good.
That'll be helpful for our salary study too.
Yeah, so planning and zoning department.
That will require top to bottom revision of the code as well.
Oh, yes, no.
FYI.
Right. All right, 1102040 permits. All right, permits. In red, you're recommending, again, going to a percentage of the lot width rather than a foot like our discussion before?
And that percentage is identical to the foot width.
Okay.
It just changes, the lot width changes. So that's all of our ordinance is based off a typical lot size of 50 by 100.
Mm-hmm.
So all this does is just make it equitable for all other lot sizes.
And then you're recommending some sort of a catchment device to protect the street.
Yeah. Yes, right now I'm making do it anyway, but it'd be nice if it was in the ordinance.
I think that's great. Do you think we should say at entry and egress points? Just in case they should have an NZ and an OutZ?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, so the recommended would be in red, but make sure it says ingress and egress also in that. Okay. And John, you'll come back with that then?
I just edited it right there.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Everybody's good on that one?
Yep.
Okay. Next one is special events, 1102040F.
So this is basically just combining with this law with Nikki and having her responsible for some of it?
I wrote this entire ordinance 10 years ago, and we didn't have a planning and zoning or a Parks and Recs director. Didn't have anybody that did special events, and so that fell on me. And so that's why it says the Cure Beach building is back around there. So as I was going through, I said, yeah, we need to straighten this up too. So that's why I put that in there.
And Jim, would you agree that this should probably not be in Chapter 11 or someplace
else?
Yeah,
I agree with both changes. I'm not sure yet where we ought to put it, but I think both comments are correct.
Okay.
Good.
We're all okay on that one? Okay, excellent.
So
last.
What's the direction there?
I have one question. For loud noises, is she going to have the ability to write a citation for a noise, or is that going to fall to the police department or back to you, or?
That's the police department. This is all about planning that special event.
Okay.
And so those are part of the regulations or the
okay.
definitions.
John, look. That question makes me ask another question. Maybe I don't have the code open in front of me. Are there are there other, for example, where does loud noises even fall into this ordinance? Are there other code provisions regarding special events, or does the F up on the top title refer to the question? Let me look at 1204,
1102. Oh, no, that's just the subsection. So this whole ordinance, it's in permits. And so you have to get a special event permit, and that's where we put this, in a subsection F of permits.
Well, for example, loud noises, the definition. Hang on. Yeah, but where does loud noises even come in? Okay. Oh, for the rest of the world. Okay, I got it. Sorry. There's more to it than I realize. Thank you. Yeah, that's good. We can figure out where it fits.
Okay, and then we got one more, I thought, but I misplaced myself again. So, okay. Drainage of water from buildings, 1108020.
I recommended to add red boarding, and some of that is a little bit repetitive, but it puts it in the ordinance for me to more clearly enforce. We already make this happen.
Okay.
What's the practical dumping site?
In some, we have what could be considered ditches in town. We have lower areas in town that are public property, and then we have some stormwater retention areas that we can provide taps to for them to pool their water into. And you can reward it if you want. That's just what came to mind when I wrote this.
I think based upon discretion covers everything.
Well, for this building inspector, we changed his title, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to the end. Now, in my packet, just so I'm straight, it appears I have another whole sequence of your recommendations, but they appear to be the same.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing, yeah. I just want to make sure that there's nothing. Okay.
John, didn't you have an unwritten question for us on keeping down dirt from construction sites?
He's got that.
Putting gravel down?
Was the
last one? Yeah,
previous.
Mm-hmm. That was the one
that said
any. Oh, okay. Yeah, the catchment.
Good job.
All right, that finishes John's recommendations, and I guess that you'll come back with some specific wording that we can look at next time. But I think, you know, we gave you a lot of insight on that, and it's now 7:15, and that kind of brings us to the next set of recommendations, which are suggested changes by Joe. A number of things that are on page 54, which is a lot of work looking at this, I have to admit. What is the wish of the commission now? You want to go through this now or put that off the next time?
I think since we're going to basically have another round with John when he rewords stuff, do this next time.
Okay.
Give everybody more of a chance to look at it.
And
like I said, it's mostly editorial.
And John, okay. have you gone through this list?
Briefly, it looks like that was a while.
Because yeah. I think a lot of it would just be, you know, getting your perspective on, you know, whether you agree or not.
All right, so what I'm hearing is that we'll come back and start with Joe's stuff, and then if everybody has a chance to look at the definition of home occupations and think about that, maybe we can get to that next time also.
2 points. Let's have a motion to table Mr. Bartlett's PTA until December.
So motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right,
and
excellent.
For the next agenda, can you list home occupation as a separate item?
Yes.
Just real quick, I need to insert something about December's meeting. Since you guys are tabling things to the next meeting, you generally cancel your December meeting.
We can't do what?
You usually can't cancel your December meeting.
When it would it normally be? The first?
The first week.
The first Wednesday, so.
So we would just go to January.
Right now it's December 7th.
Okay, I was going to talk about that later on, but we can certainly talk about it now. Do you want to cancel it or have it?
Generally, you cancel.
I know we do.
You just cancel it because December is such a busy month.
Yes. So
as
is that
long as everyone's it? Okay with it.
I mean,
yeah, that's fine. I will be in Scotland anyway, so I can't do
it. Can that. I get a motion?
Okay.
I motion we cancel.
Yeah, he's out.
I just want to say there are some time sensitive projects in relation to some of these ordinances.
Right.
Which are the time-sensitive ones?
The one regarding driveway widths.
Okay. So what date would we talk about? Because I am leaving for Scotland, but I...
December 7th would be your...
Oh, I'll be here December 7th.
But these are also going to have to be voted on by council.
Right, they have to go to council.
And council doesn't have a December meeting, do they?
They do, but it won't.
Well, the way it looks, if you meet in December, then you'll review, based on my earlier questions, you'll review and report in January. February, they fixed the hearing date, and March is when they'd act.
So if you cancel December's meeting, it's going to move it to April.
That doesn't really deal with time-sensitive issues, pushing it that far.
It does push it back one more month if you do cancel December, that's all.
And John, you've got one situation?
I could have more than one. There's one of them right there, just saying.
Yeah. And then, but if we went to April, we're okay? I mean, if we have December, was that April or would we go to March?
March. If you keep your December meeting, then you would get answers by March.
And does that work?
Otherwise, if you cancel December, you don't get until April.
I mean, I personally don't mind meeting in December. I'm here.
Sounds like that's the earliest that could be anyhow, so.
Well, I mean, it's early December. Let's go ahead and meet. I mean,
yeah.
We've got a lot to go over anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's...
Is
that okay?
Okay. We don't have a whole lot on the agenda, so.
So we'll go ahead and keep our December meeting. And so our agenda items will be the...
Chairman.
Yes.
There was pretty strong consensus on all of these. I don't see why we can't come back and review and report in December and shave off another month. I mean, what are you going to discuss and kick over to the next month for review and report?
Well, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff related to Chapter 15 that we were going to look at. Joe's things, our definitions.
No, I'm talking about Mr. Bennett.
No, we can deal with those right away.
If you want to go ahead, let me start over. My understanding, based on earlier comments, is that we would discuss Mr. Batson's proposed drafts in December, meaning that you would go through the procedural requirement of reviewing and reporting in January. To me, the discussion on Mr. Batson's texts were pretty much strongly consented to across the board, why don't we review and report on his chapter 15s in December and shave another month off of that?
No, we could certainly do that. What I was suggesting at the very beginning is that we'll be looking at a number of things related to chapter 15. And I was thinking that just from the benefit of the council, rather than having monthly public hearings, that we could do it all at one time. But since John mentioned there's some time-sensitive issues, I have no problem doing that.
I agree with the streamlined approach, but like John says, he's got some time.
Yeah, I mean, which is fine. So that means we'll be presenting multiple things to council, which, you know, probably is not too difficult because I doubt if they're very complicated for council.
And so when you get your drafts, can you get them to me enough time to do what I've got to do?
Okay. So what we'll have on the agenda for our December meeting is
review and report
for Mr. Batson's ordinance recommendations. We'll also have member Joe Barlick's suggested changes for 15 and my discussion of home occupations. Is that okay, Mandy?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Continued 5.2. Oh, did you need a motion?
Nope.
Okay.
We didn't move the meeting.
Okay.
And if it would make the next meeting a little easier, I can meet with John to go over all my items before that to make sure he has no hard points with anything, and then we should be able to
that's
fly
fine.
Through them. If that's all right with you, John, we'll set up a day and sit down for an
hour. So we don't need to do this?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know that I... Are you contemplating reviewing and reporting on your Chapter 15s as well, or are you just talking about working with John and getting that out of it?
I'm talking about working with John so that we don't have such a lengthy discussion on each of my items.
Because there are a lot of items you
my
have.
My point there. Being, I don't think I can get both your chapter 15s and his 15s ready for review and report next month.
So they can come
on. I don't think I can do that.
You can't do that. Okay.
That's just too much.
So that's not going to work, Jeff.
But Joe,
Commissioner Harlan.
What Mr. Barlick is saying is he can work out any wrinkles with John to expedite the discussion.
And we still have the discussion.
All right, item 5.2, this is continued discussion of town ordinances regarding private beach access points. It has me as the lead on this, but I believe this was our discussion about the height for the beach walkovers, if I remember right. Is that?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, all right. So, you want to take lead on this, or, you know?
Well, I can take the lead because I did go out and take a look at a bunch of them.
Yeah, so did I. I actually walked down the beach and looked at them too, so.
Yeah, I as well.
But we've got, as John said, we've got a mix of everything.
Right.
We've got some that are low to the ground. I actually found one low to the ground. And it's white, so it even sticks out worse than a raised one. That would be the glass house on F. And there are some that go up and come down. I mean, we've got everything.
There's multi-stage ones, too.
Multi-stage ones. We've got some that end at the dune, some that end 10 feet before the dune. But, of course, we know the dunes move, the sand moves, the elevation moves. So I guess what we were tasked with was looking at this and deciding if we need to have an ordinance to discuss what we're going to do going forward and how to define it, right? What's the perfect height? Do we want to tell people you're supposed to go 4 feet up, but then they're going to need handrails, which are another 4 feet? I'm just talking rough numbers. I don't know the exact numbers. Or do we tell people hug the ground the best you can, and then there's a risk that it's going to be covered with sand at the first storm? So that's where the discussion started, I believe, last month, and here we are.
And even then, in that case, if you encourage people to go closer down so that they can potentially eliminate the rails, that doesn't mean we can require them not to have rails.
Oh.
Right? So, you know, you're not really accomplishing much by forcing people to go to a low enough height to avoid rails when they still may need them, or in their mind at least.
Now when I walked down the beach, what struck me is that it would look better if it was more consistent. You know, I mean, you see all sorts of different things that people are putting out there, and I, I mean, they're already built, so I'm not sure there's much more we can do about it, but it to me, it certainly would have been more attractive to have a more consistent and uniform look to.
But the problem, the main problem is the sand that we don't control.
Right, right.
Because you can have part of the beach with the covering the crossovers and another part of the beach where they have to have rails because there's so much space underneath. Is there some way that we can, since John's going to be getting a raise?
a new title and a raise, huh?
Any beach access that he has a problem with either comes to us or Board of Adjustment or...
Yeah, right now there's really nothing. I mean, people can do whatever they want, basically, right?
It's governed by CAMA and normally by town ordinance, but as long as they're not dug into the dune, they can do what they want to do.
Yeah. But it's more of a, you're right.
Yeah, so are we really just, the only opportunity sounds like it's like a maximum height kind of restriction.
Probably, I mean, as far as making continuity of the way it looks, that's just unachievable because of the top topography, you know? So it would be kind of cool to have something in place just in case we have a big storm and they have to get rebuilt, all have to get rebuilt anyway. But then I'll just say, who's going to be out there checking every one of those? Because we'll have better things to be doing than worrying about some beach accesses. I think it's going to be a hard thing to enforce.
To manage, you know, with the exception of maybe a maximum height.
Without causing some undue hardship on some people.
Well, the other thing is we do have our public access also, other than the privates. So if there's possibly some way to compare the private beach access to the public and limit it to, say, the height of the public access, rather than give it a 4 foot or a 2 foot. But take a look at your nearest public access and let that be your limit.
I just mentioned public accesses vary considerably within the town as well. And handicapped access points versus non-handicapped access points are different.
Mm-hmm. John, other than noting it would be nice to have anything, do you have any recommendations on this? Because, I mean, this is something that, you know, I think it makes sense to have some sort of a height limit or something.
I think you're right. I mean, I think the height's the only thing that's going to be attainable for us to enforce.
Would you have an idea?
Across the board, because, once again, topography is going to come into play, and this, let's say we want everybody to say, no further than 2 feet above the dune. Well, somebody that's got a 20-foot dune in front of their house, that means they've got to come down the stairs all the way down, and then they have another dune that might be 10 feet tall, 20 feet down the way. They've got to come up and over again. I wouldn't want to do that if that were me. And so I don't think that's a fair thing to try to enforce across the board.
Yeah, this is something I have to admit that I would much rather defer to what your recommendations would be. I mean, that's my own personal opinion, that if you think there should be a height and how it should be done, I'm much more inclined to...
Well, let's continue it. Let me go ride the beach and think about it a little harder before I give you a recommendation.
I mean, is that
sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because I would have no idea what...
Because the part that we're supposed to write something up about is uncontrollable.
Right, right. But I do think there has to be a... I mean, because if not, then people could go 35 feet if they wanted to.
Straight out from your deck.
Not an inch more.
Not an inch more.
Right, not an inch more.
So,
let's put a chimney on it.
Not a height limit. I just don't want you to dig into the dune.
Yeah. All right, so we're all okay with that?
So, but I think we all agree there probably needs to be a restriction from a height standpoint.
But just a height standpoint. Yeah, not trying to design, but a height standpoint.
But just need your help and kind of help guide that.
All right, agenda item 5.3. This is a continuing discussion of the green sustainability planning and zoning. I suggest we just table this until our next meeting, and because this is kind of I think it's important, but it's more of a filler discussion if we don't have anything else to do. And we've been dealing with some pretty important things, so my recommendation is to table 5.3 to our next meeting, if that's okay.
I'm not sure, given it sounds like we're going to have a pretty full agenda for December, so
we'll just keep tabling it each time if that's okay. But it's, you know, I think it's important that we talk to, but we have a lot of stuff we're doing. So if that's okay to table?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's have a great motion.
So I'll make a motion to table 5.3.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, new business. This is the interview of the following applicants for the alternate position. And again, this has been a good introduction here to what we do and yeah. How exciting it is.
The fact that you're still here.
You're still here. But it is important because that's what makes Kiri Beach look like what it looks like, you know. So it all happens kind of here and then, of course, with John's office. So anyway, very, very quickly before we start on this, just to let you know about how the alternate position is. According to the town ordinance, we have 5 members on the commission. And we have what's called an alternate position. And the alternate is not a non-voting position, but when we lose somebody on the commission, that person automatically steps into that position. So we lost somebody about 2 months ago, and the alternate then stepped into that and now is a member of the commission. So that's the position we're looking for. Alternate usually sits down there, can certainly ask questions and, you know, be, you know, participate and everything like that. The only thing is the alternate doesn't vote, but again is willing to step in if there is a resignation or something happens to somebody on the commission. The expectations for attendance are the same. You are expected to attend and be involved and that sort of thing. And is there anything else that we want to add about the position?
HPC.
I don't think the alternate is part of HPC.
Yeah, they're actually a full member.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Okay, you're right. We also have the Historic Preservation Commission, and the way the town ordinance is written is that the alternate on the Planning and Zoning Commission is a full voting member of the Historic Preservation Commission. I don't think that was quite made clear in the advertisement, if I remember when I read it, but that is a requirement. And what the HPC is we have a downtown historic preservation. It's a downtown preservation in about a 4-block area, and when anybody wants to do an architectural change in that downtown area, they have to come to the HPC for a certificate of appropriateness, and there's requirements for that and that sort of thing. And so the HPC then votes on the certificate of appropriateness. So it's actually kind of a dual responsibility, act as an alternate Planning and Zoning Commission member and then a full voting member of the Historic Preservation Commission. Historic Preservation Commission doesn't meet very often now because we haven't had, you know, we've gone through the process of developing the rules and regulations, but the only time we're going to meet right now is if there actually is an application for the COA, the Certificate of Appropriateness. And we haven't had one yet, so the HPC has not met. The only thing that I would say may be kind of a semi-requirement is to do some training, because the HPC is what's called a quasi-judicial board, which has kind of regulatory or judicial type of things, and there's some training that you should go through. But there is an opportunity to do training online, I think, in December, isn't it, Mandy? I sent it to Beth, I think, link, yeah. So there is some training for that. But
2 different times.
Okay, so anyway, we have 2 people. I think it's great. I mean, that 2 people are very interested, Lindsay and Connie. The rules are that we have to do this in public, the interview, the questions, and the discussion and the recommendations afterward. You know, we can't go into a closed session and have this, so we need to do this in public. So and then what we'll do is typically is let each person introduce yourself, and then we'll ask some questions, and then we'll go to the next person, so forth. So since Lindsay is the first person on the list, if you want to come up and kind of introduce yourself, and then just take a couple minutes and tell us about yourself and why you might be interested in planning and zoning. Yes.
Okay.
And your dress and kind of the whole thing.
Okay. I'm Lindsay Goodman. I live at 418 South 3rd. I was born and raised in Kiri Beach. I did move overseas for about 5 years. I've been back since 2017. Home is home, so let's come back. I worked for a custom home builder on the island, Bassville. for about 2 years, which kind of piqued my interest in planning zoning. I wasn't part of the construction aspect necessarily, more the office admin selection side. I'm nervous for some reason. My voice is shaking. Usually I don't get nervous. But that, also being from here, growing up here, 1990, but it's changed so much. So this, the at all the buildings and the duplexes and the oceanfront homes, and you see such a change, it's interesting to, not that it's up to you, but to be involved in the process for what people have to follow and abide by for this new development, because the island's just changed so much since, you know, even when I was gone for that 5 years that came in, I was like, wow. Also getting involved in the town in some way, this would be my involvement with the town, but it wouldn't be so much the political side of, you know, that kind of thing, with getting involved in the town of Curie Beach. So this interests me. That's why I did apply. I've learned a lot. I have a lot to learn. I do not have experience at all in anything like this. In saying that, I did read the agenda, read everything prior to coming. I felt like I can continue to familiarize myself with the information that is put out, so I can have an input if needed in some way, and an educational input, because learning is important to me. It's also accountability to learn something new. You know, you're coming to monthly meetings, you're getting sent emails, you're getting the information, so that's why I applied.
Okay. How about if we start here and we'll just kind of move down and we'll go the opposite way when Connie comes up. So, question?
So, given your desire to get involved in the town and so forth, there's other committees as well. Was there anything specific to this one beyond what you just said?
Specifically, because working with a custom home builder, specifically who primarily builds on the island, that got my interest. That's why I worked for him.
Gotcha.
As well. And so that's what this committee specifically.
And then do you come into this with any perspective around things that you would potentially want to see different, or things that, you know, you think we can improve on?
Not necessarily different. In saying that, I'm currently redoing the bathrooms at my home. Since I've been back, new siding, new windows, going through all the processes that are the ordinances you guys, you know, are having to discuss and put into place. I'm abiding by those right now, currently, you know, making sure that I'm following everything I need to.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Just kind of building on that, you know, what don't you like about Curie Beach that you would like to see better?
As my home was my grandmother's home from 1976, it was finished, and there's a huge duplex in front of my house. I mean, you know, you can't help duplexes, but yeah, that's definitely something. A little bit of the charm leaving with, I work for Carolina Retreats, so property management, and we have a lot of our oceanfront properties. Two of our older homes have just sold, and I don't know specifics or anything, but they're going to be torn down. That takes some charm away, and I just I do hate to see that. I know it's growth and development, we need that, but I do hate seeing the charm. That's something I don't like.
Okay. Yes, Jim.
To build on what the chairman said, this town or this committee probably has the greatest impact of any of the committees that are with the town, or the greatest potential for both positive and negative impact. Do you feel that because you've been born and raised here, that there would be a requirement or a problem with different things that would come up?
I don't think so. I definitely wouldn't use or take my personal opinions about something into account, and that is why I like the fact that as a board, it's a discussion. It's not one person, well, I don't like that, so I think we should keep it the way it was. You know, you have to change. Change is a way that, you know, that's how it goes, but yeah, I wouldn't use my, you know, personal, oh, I don't like this about that, to make a judgment on something.
Okay, I've got two easy ones and a tough one.
Okay.
First easy one. On the application, it asks the question, what days or times are you unable to attend?
Oh, unable, I'm probably unable.
So are you?
Yes.
Just want to make sure, okay. Between 9 and 5, you're probably working, so you're sorry. That was the easy one.
Okay.
Custom home builders, what did you do for them when you worked for them?
So office administration, the selections coordinator was just the homeowners. Custom home, you know, putting together, helping discuss their options for which selections. I would often submit the permits to the town, fill those out, email them in here to Cura Beach and Carolina Beach. I would also assist in the architectural committee for homes that were built that required an architectural review board prior to building for plans to be passed. I would assist in filling out those applications as well.
Okay, so you're familiar with that. And the last one, you heard us have a little discussion tonight on beach access.
Mm-hmm.
As a resident of Cura Beach, what would you recommend to the committee, and how would you like to see us move forward with regulating beach access, or putting an ordinance out for beach access?
Well, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
I think just off the top of my head and hearing it, and myself walking the beach, maintaining the beach access should be something that I feel like should be included in some type of way. Everything's great when you first build it, but then you let it go, and it does, I think, you know, the appeal kind of goes if you've got rotting wood, and, you know, I know you can't force someone necessarily to update something, there's that financial aspect, but maintaining in the safety of the access.
Good, thank you.
Great. Any other questions?
Yep.
All right, well, thank you very much. All right, next applicant, Connie.
Yes.
Same, introduce yourself and then we'll ask some questions.
I'm Margo. I've lived in Cura Beach full-time 11 years, before that 5 years part-time. I've been involved in quite a few committees and HOA since we moved here. I was on the Board of Adjustment for 3 years. I started out as an alternate, which was a great way to start out because then I actually learned kind of the lay of the land and how that commission worked. And then the alternate moved in, that was me, and I became a permanent member. I'm currently on the Stormwater Committee, which gives me a great appreciation for infrastructure and the stormwater in this town. And I ended up on that because I'm on the HOA board of Cura Dunes. And we struggle with a lot of the same issues I hear you struggling with tonight. You know, we try to figure out how we manage growth in kind of a disciplined way, but, you know, not restricting, you know, the people that are coming into our community. It's a balanced approach between the full-time, the part-time, and the people that rent out their homes. So that's kind of the things that I've been involved in since I moved here. And why am I interested in this community? I think probably because, you know, one of the things that interests me is that you want to make sure that the long-term vision of the community is, you know, it's kind of like the guardrails and the guidance for everyone. In the community, when you look at the land use plan, it kind of aligns with what I believe. You know, you want it to be a small town feel. You want, you know, the family-oriented, you know, activities here. You want the green space. You want the coastal preservation. And, you know, you want to make sure that we develop it in a measured way. And the ordinances are important, and you know, we always look at them to make sure, you know, should they be changed. But I think at the same time, you really do have to balance that, you know, the growth and how you developed it in a disciplined way, and that it reflects what the community wants, their long-term vision. And so it kind of aligns with what I'm interested in. So that's why I applied for the committee.
Okay. All right, question. Let's go ahead and start down at the other end.
Oh, I can start.
Get started.
Opposite direction.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely appreciate you being on the committees you're on now, Stormwater Committee.
Thank you.
But you mentioned in the application that if selected, you will resign from the Stormwater Committee and name a replacement from our HOA.
Yes.
Is that how that works? Or
yes, the Stormwater Committee, David Hagler, is the head of that for us. And each member is from an HOA that has a retention pond. And so I was put forward to represent our HOA for the retention pond, and I learned more about our retention pond and stormwater and what goes on in this town with the stormwater than probably I ever imagined that I would know. So I would have to step down. That's actually what happened. I was on the Board of Adjustment, and it was discovered I was on two committees, so that's why I had to step down from the Board of Adjustment.
Thank you. I'm going to ask you the same question then about the beach access. Being a resident of Kerry Beach, how would you approach the Planning and Zoning Committee here to move forward with our ordinance on our beach access? Or do you believe we need one or not?
Well, I'm probably biased because I have a beach access. So I'll be honest. It actually drives me crazy because, and John probably knows this, you know, we actually had to rebuild ours once, and he's right. You know, a beach access will only last you about 10 years. Next thing you know, you're going to be rebuilding it. So I think it's important to think about the future because hopefully it wouldn't be a storm, but they do come down. I mean, everyone does them differently. I don't like to see the step versions where they're going up, they're going down. I think that they should be going straight across. I do realize that some of them have to be kind of pitched down because people want handicap access, so not all of them have steps. They kind of roll down, so I get that. But I do think when you look down the beach, you know, they should look like they're all about the same height. I don't like the ones that are way down low and then all of a sudden, you know, there's one up high. And I think all of them put railings on whether they're down low or they're up high. And it looks like a hodgepodge to me. So I would probably say, you know, taking into account, you know, you have to have handicap for some people, but I would like to see that when you look down at these, they all are the same line.
Thank you.
You're giving up some of your other positions.
Just one, the stormwater. I want that. They'll probably make me stay on the, I've been on the Board of Prairie Dunes HOA for 5 years, so.
Oh, you poor dear.
I know. And you know, we actually have more stringent requirements than like John does. We don't allow people to park on grassy surfaces. Don't allow that. Mailboxes. We actually say mailboxes have to be consistent. You take it down, it's got to be a white mailbox. And but, you know, we struggle trying to balance out bark growing. You know, it used to be that there were no, you know, part-time residents, and there was no one that was just building a house, you know, for investment. And now you have people to building housing for investment. And I appreciate, we need those people, the town, we need those dollars, but you want to balance out that growth in a disciplined way. It makes everybody that's here on a full-time basis still feel like this is a small town, and it's important for us to feel like, you know, that, you know, it's very family-oriented, and we have green spaces to go to, so. It's hard to balance all those things out.
And my other question would be, can you see a potential conflict between being part of an HOA and being part of setting up rules that may cause a problem with HOAs?
If I was the head of our architectural committee, yes. But I am not the head of our architectural committee. I think that would be the one position that might have a bit of conflict.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Kind of the same question. You know, you've been here now for 11 years, you said. When you look at Kerry Beach, and again, looking at the sort of things that planning and zoning can address, What do you think that we have done well, and what do you think we have not done very well and could improve?
Well, people don't like rules, and I think sometimes it's difficult to, you know, put the guardrails up and, you know, change ordinances and have rules when you don't think it's for the good of the community, especially when some of the people in the community, and especially may feel not they don't agree with you. So I think sometimes you just have to take a harder approach sometimes to things.
Nothing in specific?
I wish there was a way to balance out more the growth, you know, the like they say, the mega houses that we're, you know, building, and versus, you know, we are losing, as Lindsay pointed out, that small town charm. But it's hard to govern, you know, what someone's going to build. They pay the money for the land and they build what they want to build. So I think the best that we can do is, you know, in planning and zoning, is to make sure that, you know, it's reflective of the community and it looks like a nice property and complies with at least, you know, the zoning and the ordinances that we have in place now. But I think overall, you guys doing very good. You do a great job. It's a hard job, I can tell for that.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, these guys stole all my questions. That's
why we kind of go different ways.
But I am on the Curie States HOA, so yes, you can balance being on both. It is possible.
So you know what I mean about balancing everything out with the homeowners. It's tough.
That's it. Okay.
Any more questions?
No. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, again, as I mentioned, you know, that we learned several years ago that our discussions have to be in public, you know, these sort of things. So anyway, we do have to make a recommendation, and all we do is make a recommendation to council. Council has the final decision. So would anybody kind of try to jump in, or? I'm looking at Jim there, since you've been on council, so I'll let you.
This is one of those times. There is no bad choice, as I see it. We've got one person who's a lifelong resident, which brings something special to it, I think, anyway, as far as what they would like to see and work with on the board. And we've got somebody else that's been here quite a long time and has a magnificent involvement history. So I don't see a whole lot bad with either of them.
Okay. We do have to make a recommendation, though. So I agree 100%. You know, it's great to have candidates that are very good. I probably would lean towards Connie just because of the background and the experience that she's been involved in Board of Adjustments. A lot of what we do will ultimately end up in Board of Adjustments if people don't like what we do, basically. And, you know, I think that I would probably lean towards Connie. I would certainly recommend, Lindsay, that you get involved. I mean, it's great to get involved, generally from my experience, because planning and zoning is a government-mandated board, that typically people that come to planning and zoning have already served on other committees and commissions and that sort of thing. And it's kind of, this is the last step before you decide you want to run for governor or something like that. So, I was just joking. No, I was just joking.
Yeah.
My recommendation would be Connie, but, you know, really do appreciate Lindsay, and I would strongly recommend that you get involved. And I know the town is actually looking for a couple people right now on various committees.
Yeah. Now, I feel the same way. I mean, obviously, Connie's background, and as Jim had described this group before, I mean, this tends to be the most influential commission, and, you know, has a lot to do with council and, you know, directions the council goes based on the recommendations that come from here. And to have some prior experience with other committees would be very helpful, I think, coming into this. So please t- take advantage of, you know, those other opportunities as well, okay?
Okay.
Ditto.
Okay, then I'll go ahead and make a motion that we recommend to town council to appoint Connie for the alternate position on planning and zoning.
I second the motion.
Is there any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Again, thank you so much. And, you know, it's great that you want to get involved. Believe me, the town really runs on volunteerism. I mean, it really, really does, from the council down to the committees. It's really a volunteer type of thing. So, you know, it's great. All right. I believe the only thing I have is a little bit of an update regarding some of our things and where they're going. I believe that our discussion on the, and John, you know, correct me on this, our discussion on the roof, the and our recommendation regarding the proposal for the text amendment on the non-conforming roof, that has now been taken to the Board of Adjustments, I believe. Okay, so that is going to the Board of Adjustments. We don't have any further say in that, but I just want to let you know where that is.
There's two items actually on that agenda.
For the Board of Adjustments?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm only aware of one Board of Adjustment. You all handled a text amendment, but they're going to, once that was denied, they're going to the Board of Adjustment for a variance.
For a variance, yes. Yeah. But it's the same topic. It's the same issue. So it's not a text amendment, the Board of Adjustment.
Right.
It's a variance,
and,
yes.
Council does have two text amendment
items. I was going to mention that, yeah. So, yeah, the two things that we talked about last time, you know, I presented to the council. The council voted to have a legislative hearing.
Yes.
Is that correct?
What's that?
The council voted to have a legislative hearing on the two items that we talked about last time?
That's correct.
Okay. Not a public hearing, but a legislative hearing. It was
very good.
Yeah, clearly made clear to me. So, and I also found out that based upon the comments of the attorney, our attorney, is that regardless of what we recommend, if anybody does propose a text amendment, it automatically goes to legislative hearing. That they can't, it's required to go there, right?
If it's a Chapter 15 zoning text amendment, yeah. Yes.
So we could certainly make recommendations.
Statutes require PVC review and report and council consideration and action.
Right. And so after legislative hearing, I assume the council will take a vote on that because they're going to hit a legislative hearing for public discussion, but then they have it on their agenda right afterwards.
I always get mixed up with this one. Is it the next month after the legislative hearing that they act on it, or can they act on it on the same meeting?
Same night. I think it's the same night. So I will plan on being there and giving the recommendation during that particular hearing about planning and zoning's recommendation. So, okay?
Yeah.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Very good. Thank you.
Did anybody ever say nay to an adjournment?
Oh, well, there were a couple of people that had to wake up.
Oh, boy. That was actually a good meeting. I think we covered a lot, don't you?
Yeah,
not the most exciting stuff, but, you know. It's...
Well, but a little thing like a driveway can really blow up.
It could, yeah. Well, you know, where you measure the height, you know, we're so insistent on 35 feet. Well, it depends on where you measure it. If people can build up their thing like 3 or 4 feet.
Well,
if they want
since
to.
It's a state law.
Yeah.
You could end up getting drug into court.
Yeah, it's...
I still didn't get mad at that parking.
No, I swear, I read that thing like 5 times. I could not understand a couple of those things that were written.
Yeah, but even like, so it's...
If this is the first time I...
Oh, no, I understand that one. Okay.
If it's four, like, so let's say it's 2 4-bedroom, 2-unit. A 2-unit.
Okay, so you're talking about like a duplex.
Yeah, like
okay,
a duplex.
Like
a,
okay.
And so if it's per unit,
right,
then it would be 2, 4, 6, 7 per
no,
unit.
No. It'd be it's 1 per bedroom. If it's a
3 bedroom,
a multi.
I thought like for one or two units, it was two.
Right.
For the first three bedrooms.
For three, yes, you're right.
So that's two times three is six, plus one is seven, if it's four bedrooms.
Well, it's for each unit. For four bedrooms, it would be two for the first three, and then for the fourth bedroom, it would be three, and then for the fifth bedroom, it would be four. So you get the first two for the first three. Here's your bedrooms. Here's your parking.
It's not two per bedroom.
No.
That's what
it's two okay. For the first three, and then everyone after that is one.
That's,
right, like
that's what I was. Okay. I was multiple.
Yeah, and I was.
I thought it was based on a number of bedrooms. So yeah, it doesn't really matter how many bedrooms you have. Like, so
no,
if you only have two bedrooms,
you continue to add one. In additional parking. So my house five.
But you only need two parking spaces for a three bedroom unit.
Yes, for a individual or for a single resident. Now, if it's a multi resident, you need three. You have to have three for a three bedroom.
And then if your house is on stilts and you build underneath another bedroom.
Yeah. You have to make sure you have enough.
Yeah. I just don't understand, like, why is it two parking spaces for one, two, or three bedrooms? I mean, you would think that there's, with three bedrooms, you would think that
I'm not
you would
sure
have
there are any two-bedroom single-unit housing in Curie Beach now. No, there's 17 bedrooms.
Well, that's true. Kind of what Jim was saying. We just go one each.
Yeah. All right. That's what I was missing. I was multiplying it by bedrooms.
And when we're talking about requiring egress, you know, I mean, I've got five bedrooms, and I swear I have six cars. There's no way I'm going to get a car. But I have, you know, I mean, I'd have to back out all my cars to get something out of the driveway.
Well, have you seen the cars at Sloop and Settlers?
See you at the next meeting.
No.
Oh, yeah, right there, right across from the water tower.
Yeah. No.
Way down there?
The other end of the cul-de-sac.
Oh, that's a beautiful house. I mean, it's out of place. It's out of place for that particular location. It's beautiful.
One with all the gingerbread.
Yeah. They got the gravel.
They got parking for setbacks.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful house. It was just an odd.
Seven designated areas.
And it was just an odd place to put a house like that. It just, you know.
I mean, Joe.
It is a pretty house. Why there, you know? It just doesn't work.
See, the people really like it or they hate it. You know, it's not.
Oh, it drives my wife nuts. Yeah. But they used to live on Cutter Court.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the brick house.
No, I'm sure it was one of those, you know, that's the house they always wanted. And that's the only property they had, and they were going to put that there, you know, so.
Right.
No, I'd really love to go through that place.
We used to do that when they were building houses. My wife and I would sneak over after they started, you know, late at night, and just walk through before they put the locks and
the ones who were driving the police.
That was a long time ago. But before we built our house, we were trying to get ideas.
Alrighty.
Maybe next time
you
can early, we'll look at pictures.
Okay.
Oh, here you go.
Take care. See you later. And we have been.
I won't be here in December, and I'll send the wheelchair down there.
You'll send the wheelchair right there.
And we all started as counselors.
Yeah.
I started as an alternate.
Actually, you're right.
I think they just interviewed our recommendations.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know, I like the idea of
35 feet from the concrete pad. Mm-hmm.
that makes sense to me.
Does Beth often vacation now or something?
Yeah, just,